Why is it so hard to talk out loud about your pay?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Today, President Obama is going to sign an executive order stopping federal contractors from punishing workers who talk about their paychecks. This is about enlisting transparency to narrow the gap between what women and men are paid. But keeping your pay to yourself is deeply rooted in the culture, as Kate Davidson reports.
Okay, everyone, I want you to turn to the person next to you and blurt out your salary in 3, 2, 1. And crickets.
Well, it's said that Americans love to talk about sex, but don't like to talk about their salaries.
Gary Burtless is a labor economist at the Brookings Institution. Yes, it's considered tacky to ask Bob from accounting how much he makes, but some employers have policies forbidding it.
Well, they appear to be quite pervasive.
Heidi Hartman is president of the Institute for Women's Policy Research. A few years ago, it did a big survey.
It does show that 50% of all workers say they would be discouraged from discussing pay or that it is prohibited in their workplace, and it's higher in the private sectors.
Even though discussing your wages is protected by national labor law. We don't know how big an effect this executive order will have for federal contractors, but perhaps Bob in accounting should prepare his response. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
Banco Popular is closing branches and shifting eastward from Los Angeles and Chicago, according to the newspaper Crain's Chicago Business. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has more.
In 2010, Banco Popular rebranded itself in Chicago and Los Angeles as Popular Community Bank, hoping to broaden its customer base. Now it's moving in the opposite direction. Mark Palmer looks at Popular for the trading firm BTIG.
At some point, it makes sense for the company to simply decide to exit the market and focus more on its operations in Puerto Rico, where it's gaining market share, gaining deposits.
And making better profit, getting a better spread between the interest it pays depositors and the interest it gets paid on loans. Banco Popular is the island's biggest bank, and even in a weak economy, it's been growing. Brian Clock watches Popular for the investment bank Keefe, Briette, and Woods. He thinks this move to streamline could be partly intended to please bank regulators. Popular wants to pay back TARP bailout funds so it can start paying dividends to shareholders again. Before regulators accept that payment, they require proof the bank is in good shape and well-run.
That's because the regulators are focused on making sure we don't go through this again.
Clock thinks that's good news for the rest of us. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
The Matza may soon be owned by Bain Capital. There's word Sancati Advisors, part of the big private equity firm Bain, is buying Manischewitz. The idea is that there may be ways to further position kosher as a brand of high quality that might appeal to people who don't necessarily keep kosher. There's you in the workplace. You give and give some more because that's the giving person you are. Then there are all those other people who take. Adam Grant is a professor of the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania who has a book called Give and Take. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with a field guide. How do I spot, for starters, a taker in the wild?
Well, takers tend to be very good at kissing up but kicking down. So one clue would be if somebody is very helpful to superiors, but not so kind to those lateral and below.
Oh, I've spotted those folks. Actually, there's a couple of characters on Game of Thrones that meet those criteria. Now, how do I spot a giver?
Well, givers obviously tend to do the opposite. They're much more likely to help others with no strings attached. You'll also find that when givers and takers talk about their mistakes and their failures, givers are a lot more likely to take personal responsibility and admit, I did let people down here, here's how I'm going to improve, as opposed to blaming all their shortcomings on other people.
Givers also earn 14% less. I was reading with great concern in your book. But how are they also successful at the same time?
Well, a lot of givers make the mistake of becoming doormats. What you see, though, among successful givers is that they're concerned about benefiting other people, but also are ambitious about achieving their own goals. That means when they succeed, they end up building stronger relationships, and other people are more likely to be rooting for givers as opposed to gunning for them.
But the reason that your analysis comes as such a surprise to many is that you figure this is a country that's been built on self-promotion. Therefore, it's the takers that win.
I think a lot of people assume that, but there's a third kind of group that really describes most of us, matchers. Matchers are the people who try to keep an even balance of give and take, quid pro quo, you do something for me, I'll do something for you. When they meet a taker, matchers feel like it's their mission in life to just punish that person. So it's very difficult, although takers may rise quickly, for them to stay on top.
So if you're trying to build a successful business, what's the ratio that you want in here of matchers and takers and givers?
What I would do is I would actually focus on screening out the takers. And that means the givers that you have will act generously. They don't have to fear any consequences. And matchers follow the norm. But the matchers are still willing to fight fire with fire. So when they encounter a taker, whether that person's a client or a supplier, they're much more likely then to be tough. And so they'll play both roles for you, and you get the benefits of what takers do without any of the costs.
Adam Grant is a professor at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's author of the book Give and Take, Why Helping Others Drives Our Success. Professor Grant, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our digital team has put up a test for you at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.